Title of the message is Resisting Brainwashing, Resisting Brainwashing. As I review a little bit, when Nebuchadnezzar was battling to take over Jerusalem, he got word that his father had died. And so as he wraps things up in Jerusalem, he takes back, the best estimate is about 10,000 captives back with him to Babylon. And within that 10,000, he has separated out a small group of prisoners of war. And we are apprised of the fact that they're of the king's seed and the princes and verse 3. Now, Josephus, a Jewish historian who wrote for the Romans, says that Daniel and his three friends were related to the royal family of King Zedekiah. Now, I don't want you to be confused, because if you look at verse 4, it says, children in whom there is no blemish. The word children there is a word that refers not to young kids. It's not referring to toddlers or anything like that. As I've looked at a wide variety of those who study this, they say that it's young men between the age of 12 and 20. That's the range that I find. I speculate, and that's what it is, speculation. I speculate they were all teenagers, probably 15, 16 years of age, as they go back there. This group, that this special group that's picked out, verse 4 is very interesting. First of all, it says they had to have no blemish. So Nebuchadnezzar has picked out for him those who did not, they were good looking physically. They had no blemish. There was no marks on them. They were good looking. There was no obvious mental defects in them. I mean, he's looking for the cream of the crop. And it even goes a little bit further. Not only weren't they to have physical or mental defects, but it says well favored. And so that means they were good looking. He's the king, and so he can set out the parameters. And he didn't want any homely young men serving in his palace. He wanted good-looking young men, and that is indicated by the word or the phrase well-favored. But it doesn't stop there. They needed to be quick learners and intelligent, because that's what it means when it says skillful in verse 4 in all wisdom. Skillful in all wisdom. And they needed to have good memories, because they needed to be cunning in knowledge, and they needed to have analytical minds. I mean, you think about this. It's getting narrower and narrower and narrower. And when it says understanding science, that means they had to have analytical minds, the ability to analyze and sort things out. And they also had to be those who had poise and confidence and able to serve in the royal court. It says ability in them to stand in the king's palace. He didn't want any shy, any bashful people. Now, he didn't want them overly braggadocious or any of that sort of things. But it would be like when I was in training in the military. Sir, yes, sir. I mean, you didn't say, yes, sir. No, they wouldn't settle for that. You'd be doing 1,500 push-ups. But anyway, the fact of the matter is that he wanted them to be able to be confident and do what he said, and they needed to be teachable. It says, whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. Chaldeans is another name for the Babylonians, as we have there. And Ashpenaz, who was the head of the eunuchs, He went through the teens and picked the ones that fulfilled the criteria that Nebuchadnezzar had set out, because they were to embark on a 3-year brainwashing program. They really were in an intense brainwashing program, and those who would not make the grade would be weeded out. It doesn't tell us how many totally were in this program. We know others were in the program from what Pastor Longsign read, but we do know that especially picked out were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And you'll have to remember, these young nobles were now captive. They lost their freedom. They were prisoners of war. They went from making their own choices to having no choices. And I believe that we have prophetically and actually that these young men were emasculated and became eunuchs. And as we will see, though this happened with Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, they would not forsake the Lord God, despite the brainwashing program that they were going to be exposed to. Boy, I'm praying that God will give us young men and young women who have this mindset. Because as I told you in my last message, what I see and what alarms me a great deal is, and I've seen it happen right here at First Baptist Church, is we see young people who are raised in church and they're raised in Sunday school and they're raised by Christian parents, but then when they get out from under the auspices of the family and they get into the secular universities, they are brainwashed from the biblical things, and they turn to the world and turn away from the Lord. It's doubtful that they were ever saved. But I want to talk to you a little bit more about the brainwashing plan. The brainwashing plan. Last week, we talked to you about the new home, so I'm going to start with a new knowledge. Look at verse 3 and verse 4 of Daniel chapter 1. It says, "And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and the king's seed and of the princes," and we already read this, "but children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored, skillful in all wisdom, cunning in knowledge and understanding in science, and such as had the ability in them to stand the king's palace, of whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of..." What you have there might teach the learning in the tongue of the Chaldeans. Now, verse 4 indicates that they were to learn the tongue of the Chaldeans and the Chaldean ways. I find this very, very interesting. There are two sources of wisdom. Turn with me to James chapter 3, verse 13 through 17, 15 through 17, book of James. And we looked at this actually in Sunday school this morning, but in James chapter 3, there's two sources of wisdom. And in James chapter 3 and verse 15, it says, verse 15, "The wisdom that descendeth not from above, but is earthly and sensual and devilish." And that's earthly, as it leaves God out. Sensual, as it appeals to the old nature. Devilish, it is sourced in the demons, in the devil's way or the devil's wisdom. And yet, verse 17, "There's wisdom from above, this pure and peaceable and gentle, easily entreated, that's easily persuaded to do right, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." So, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, all they had when they were being taught back in Jerusalem, they were taught from God's wisdom. That's what they did. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, they knew the 22-letter Hebrew alphabet. You see it there, Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet, He, Vev. The 22 letters was in their alphabet. And they could read Hebrew. They memorized the entire law at this age, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, so that they knew what God's law was. They knew the ceremonial law, and they knew the moral law just like the back of their hands. Their science was biblically based, as was their morality. However, I want to show you what the science was like when it comes to Babylon. Look at Daniel chapter 2 and verse 2. It says, then the king commanded to call. Now watch this. Who are they calling? The magicians. They had occult magic. The astrologers, again, based on the occult. The sorcerers. And so, through Babylonian belief, they're going to undergo a three-year brainwashing that's designed to mold their thinking into Babylonian paganism. And my friends, I want you to know today that what we're seeing a lot in the public schools is what's being taught is not things that line up with the Scripture. False morality, anti-biblical morality is being taught today. Read an article about a teacher who's teaching grade school young people that, and I'll not go as specific as she did, but that just because you have a male member and a female member, that doesn't determine your gender. Hogwash! And yet that's what's being taught. Is it any wonder there's so many homeschoolers today? Is it any wonder that there's a number of Christian schoolers today and a number of private schoolers today? Because they're being taught stuff that is based upon the wisdom from beneath. And when a Christian teacher encounters this and resists this, I can tell you from personal experience, people in this auditorium, it does not go well when they stand for that which is right. But this is what Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were being exposed to. They were exposed to Babylonian philosophy, science, the medicine, astrology, the occult. And the goal was to convert the teenage boys from Hebrew monotheism, now that's one god, to Babylonian polytheism. Now, we're a lot like Babylon today. You know what you're being told today? You're being told that Allah is the same as Jehovah. I'm telling you again, that's a bunch of hogwash. You look in the papers today, and when they have articles on spirituality, it's usually occult spirituality that they're talking about. They're telling you to get into meditation. Well, biblical meditation is taking the Word of God and saturating your mind with it and taking it apart in your mind and squeezing out all the application. If you're talking about the meditation that's being promoted in the schools today, and they're at businesses, they're telling you, teaching you how to do the different kinds of yoga meditation and all this kind of stuff, is to try and make your mind clear of all things. You know what? The idle mind is the devil's workshop, my friends. You're to saturate your mind with the Scripture. The Scripture shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. You see, there's a complete paradigm shift that they're trying to do here, just like they're trying to do a paradigm shift in the United States of America today. They do not want biblical Christianity. That's why they're kicking up such a fuss. That's what happened in the last administration. They're trying to remove everything of the biblical morality in the things of the government. They're trying to put the Christians in the corner. They're trying to isolate them. They're trying to get them to shut their mouths. We dare not shut our mouths because the whole purpose is the purpose that the Babylonians had, to make a paradigm shift in the life and the beliefs of these young men, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and all the rest of the captives. But we know that Daniel and his three friends, they resist it. But if you can imagine just for a minute, what do we have? A, B, A through Z. Is that 26 letters in our alphabet? Isn't that how many we have in our alphabet? though some of the way people talk today, I think there's an extra five or six, but anyhow, but here's the deal. You figure going from a 26-letter alphabet, how would you like to go to an alphabet that has between 6,000 or 600 and 1,000 characters? That's what happened when they had to go to the Akkadian alphabet that was used in the Chaldeans at that time. There's between 600 and 1,000 symbols. Reading was very complicated. Language was very complicated. Their sciences were corrupt. They worshiped multiple gods. Marduk was identified with the planet Jupiter, and Ishtar, the goddess there, was identified with Venus, and Ninra was Saturn, and Nebu was Mercury, and Nargil was Mars. See, they worshiped the planets. You know where all this came from? Remember when I talked to you last week? Nimrod. Nimrod started all the mystery religions. Nimrod brought in all the planetary worship. That's what the Tower of Babel was, to reach to the heavens, because they thought by human sacrifice, they thought that they could get the ear of the planetary gods. And so this is carried on. And so what you have here is a total occult-centered, occult-oriented wisdom and education in the day. And if you don't think that I really have any support for that, I'd have you turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 21:21. So just before Daniel is Ezekiel, and back in Ezekiel 21:21, here's how they made their decisions in Ezekiel 21. It says this. In Ezekiel 21:21, for the king of Babylon stood at the parting of the ways, at the head of two ways. And so here he is. He comes to the proverbial fork in the road, okay? So how do I know which way I should go? Should I go to the left? Should I go to the right? Well, here's how he does it. To use divination, he made his arrows bright. They had different color arrows in their quivers, and they shook them up. And then the quiver, they dumped them out of their quiver. It was kind of, any of you old enough to have played pickup sticks? Any of you played pickup sticks? Okay. Some of you who are antiques, you know how to play pickup sticks. But the sticks would fall a certain way, and if a different colored arrow, and if certain arrows pointed away, you'd follow that way. That's divination. But not only that, he consulted his images. So they had their little... they had their little box of gods. They'd get out their little box of gods, and they'd kneel down and pray to their little box of gods. But here is a real diabolical one. They looked into a liver. Now, what they did was, is they slit open the belly of a beast, and as that belly, as the animal is still quivering and dying, they're looking into the liver, and if the liver looks a certain way, then they make their choice. They're saying, oh, this looks like we should go to the right. That's how they made their... They used the wisdom from beneath. They used the devil's wisdom. Now, I just want to tell you something, that Daniel and his three friends, they were all schooled in all of this. And the king hoped that this brainwashing would make them better servants. But you know what? I just want to tell you, I went to the university, and I was going to be a geologist. Now, I'm not sure why, but in the study of my curriculum, in studying to be geology, I had to take a course on evolution. So I guess when I was being a geologist, if I dug anything up, it was bones, they would show me it was billions and billions of years old. But anyway, I wasn't buying it when the professor was talking about it. I didn't do very good in the class because I asked him about Piltdown Man. And I asked him two other interesting questions. And if you know that Piltdown Man was basically made from a pig's jaw and a pig's tooth in a human skull, that didn't go very well for me. But I didn't buy the wisdom of the world. A lot of you don't know, but I studied the occult for 20 years. I was never involved in the occult, but I was a resource person for the police departments, for medical professionals, for psychological professionals, warning them about the dangers of the occult. I lectured to more than one parent group, more than one school group, because young people were getting into the occult. Now the occult's accepted. You got Harry Potter. You've got all these kinds of occult books and that sort of things that are readily accepted even in Christian schools today, and it's a great tragedy where our culture is gone. Our culture is gone to accept the occult. So just because you study something doesn't mean that you have to adopt something if you guard your heart, if you know what you believe. I'm telling you that Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, they knew what they believed. And they were determined to hang on to it. They were not going to be brainwashed. And I'm going to ring the bell again this week. Young people, you need to study and pray, get saved, and know what you believe based upon the scriptures. It needs to be in your heart. Mommy and daddy's faith, once you get graduated, once you get out from under their direction, once you're going your own way, mommy and daddy's belief is not going to serve you well if it is not your own belief. You need to internalize it for yourself. You need to get into the Word of God for yourself. I'm not kidding you. By the time that you're 6 or 7, you ought to be able to read some of the Bible on your own and study it, and you certainly ought to be able to pray on your own. And any wise parent will, as soon as possible, teach their children to be removed from the rote prayers that they have learned. You know, we learned a lot of rote prayers when I was growing up. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I awake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. God is great. God is good. And we thank him for our food. By his hand we are fed. Give us now this daily, our daily bread. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and glory forever. You know what good that did? Nothing. Because my mind didn't have to be in gear to do any of those things. My sister, before she was saved, got tired of rote prayers, and one time she was poking at me and she said, "Rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub." Mm-mm. And while that sounds funny, that's really blasphemous. Because our minds need to be in gear when we approach the holy throne of God through our high priest, Jesus Christ. And Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were firm in their faith as teenagers. Now, another thing that they had was a new diet. The king, it says in verse 5a, appointed them daily provisions of the king's meat and of the wine that he drank. They were Hebrew captives, but they were not deprived. The food they ate was literally fit for a king, and it was to entice them to be acceptable or to accept the opulent Babylonian lifestyle. There was no richer culture nor society than that of Nebuchadnezzar. He is the head of gold. He is probably the richest man, the richest ruler who ever lived in all of the world, barring none. L. Archer says this: probably most of the meat items on the king's menu were taken from animals sacrificed to the pantheon, it should say, of gods of Babylon, Marduk, Nebo, Ishtar. And no doubt the wine the king's table had was first been a part of a libation to their deities. In other words, a drink offering. Therefore, even those portions of the food and drink not inherently unclean had been tainted by contact with pagan occultic use. Now you have to remember, these Jewish young people had it or had eaten according to Jewish dietary laws. I don't have time to go into that, but they didn't eat any unclean things. You see that in Leviticus 11, Deuteronomy 14, and Exodus 34. And the purpose was to force the Hebrew captives to compromise their biblical convictions and accept the Babylonian ways. That was the purpose. And then their names. The prince of the eunuchs, verse 7, wanted to eliminate all the references to the Hebrew God. You know, every time I say my name, David, you know what it makes me think of? I'm glad my mother named me David. I'm not glad she named me my middle name, but I'm not telling you what that is. But name me David because I think of King David of the Bible. I am so glad that my mother didn't name me Zeus, Jupiter. But you see, the purpose of changing their names was to eliminate the reference to God. You say, what are you talking about? Well, I'm talking about this. Daniel, you look at the E-L, Mishael, E-L. The E-L in the construction is a reference to the Lord, the Mighty One. In Psalm 22, it's very interesting. Psalm 22 is the Messianic Psalm. And you know what? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? You know what the word God underneath those are? My El, it's the Hebrew word El, which means the Mighty One. Daniel, Daniel very clearly means God is my judge, or my mighty God is my judge. And then how about the IAH? You got Hananiah and Azariah. And that is all Yah, J-A-H. Now, there's some discussion about how you pronounce that because the Hebrews wouldn't even pronounce that, but it was J-H-W-H. At any rate, Psalm 83:18 says, that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the most high over all the earth. You see, they had the Jehovah part in the last parts of their name. I've given you a little chart in your study notes. Daniel, whose name was changed to Belshazzar, and that means favored and protected by Bel, the primary Babylonian deity, who is probably deified Nimrod. And it went from God will judge. And then Hananiah, his Hebrew meaning meant the Lord's beloved, or the Lord is gracious. They changed his name to Shadrach. Rach was the sun god. Mishael, who is God, to Meshach, meaning belonging to Shach, the wine god. And then Azariah meant the Lord is my help, or the Lord helps. They changed his name to Abednego, the servant of Nego, considered to be the equivalent of Lucifer. Hey! So you're the servant of, Abednego, servant of Lucifer. They wanted them to forget their Hebrew gods. They wanted to brainwash them. Now, there was a great deal of pressure on these young people to compromise. A huge amount of pressure. Through education, it exposed them to the pagan occult philosophies. Through food, it introduced them to the Babylonian lifestyle. Through the change of their names, wanted them to adopt the Babylonian religion. There's no record of how many young men turned their backs on God. The text does not indicate that, but I believe that God wanted to focus on Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah to show us today that we can stand for God in an ungodly world. I mean, I know the pressure is on some of you at work. I know the pressure is on some of you at school. I know the pressure is on some of you going into college. The pressure was on me even in a Bible college. One of my roommates says, "You're going funny on us." What does that mean? Fundamental. Fundamental. You're getting too straight. You're getting too fundamental for us, David. I'm telling you, we need to be like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. We need to be familiar with the Word of God and able to support what we believe. What we believe. I'm not going to be swayed because somebody has new evidence that the world evolved. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the evening and the morning were the first day, the evening and the morning were the second day, the evening and morning were the third day. They can stand on their head, wiggle their ears, they can threaten me, but I believe in six literal 24-hour days of creation. I've had debates with witches. I have. Remember the witch right there saying, "Oh, I believe in many gods. There's many ways to heaven." I'm not buying it. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me." I'm not going to change that. I am set in my way believing what the Word of God says. It does not mean that, they can put on the pressure that they want to. I'm not expecting this, but if the church ever goes wacky and says, "You got to believe that there's many ways to heaven and not just the way of Jesus," well, so long to you. I'm not believing that garbage. See, what I'm trying to say to you is, our world is getting darker, and it desperately needs people who are salty Christians. There's people in this auditorium, family members, that told them, "We're not talking to you anymore because you tried to tell us about Jesus Christ." We don't tell people about Jesus Christ because we hate them. We tell them about Jesus Christ because we love them. I don't want them to go to hell. Dare to be a Daniel. Daniel was the key leader. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego followed his lead and stood for the Lord. And so be a leader. Be a leader. And then encourage other people to follow you as you follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We need Daniels, friends. We need Daniels in our day.